Well, good evening, everybody. We'll be starting the broadcast in about 10 seconds. Welcome to another edition of The Abiding Presence. There comes a time in everyone's life when the world seems to be so large and your life so small. Life can close in and leave you lost and feeling alone, especially if there are health issues or financial strife that appear to be out of control. You're not alone, or are you, without hope or answers? All you have to do is take a moment to clear your thoughts and mind. Open your heart and receive God's love. The grace of God and the sacrifices of Jesus are right here for your ability to enjoy your life free of pain and suffering. The Holy Spirit is just waiting for you to ask for God's love and the grace over your life. This internet radio show is here for just this purpose: to enlighten, empower each and every one of you who seeks such peace and harmony in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Hockaday is here to assist in your quest for salvation and God's grace. Welcome to the Abiding Presence Internet Radio Show. Well, good evening, everybody. It is the 28th of August, 2012. Just about 1 minute and 40 seconds after 8 o'clock Central Daylight Savings Time. Now, I want to remind everybody that we do the show every Tuesday night now instead of Wednesdays, because every once in a while there's people that have been on vacation and getting ready for college and school, so I wanted to make sure that we brought that up to let you know that in case you do log in on tomorrow night, Wednesday, and wonder why you've missed the live show, we do the shows now every Tuesday night, same time at 8 o'clock, and we go until we think that we have covered the ground that is necessary to help you. Tonight, we're going to try to do a little diagnostic testing for you on your spirit. We're going to try to maybe clarify and bring some things to the surface that might quite possibly help you understand what's going on. I mean, the majority of you listening to this show, almost 99.9% of the people who go to a building and they think it's a church, sometime in your day, you must say, what's going on? You might be at a red light. You might be at the kitchen table. You might be just floating around in your bathtub. But there's a point in every day of your life when you're just for a moment, just for a frog's hair fraction of a second, you have this thing that you just think and it just comes through. There's just got to be more. There has to be more in my life. There has to be something greater, something special, something more dynamic, something that makes sense out of everything. This just can't be all there is. Now, you ask it in your own way, and sometimes somebody'd say it's just a hollow feeling in the pit of my stomach. That's not the point. The point is, as a human being who is truly a spirit being, sooner or later, you're going to take note of this. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to ponder this question on tonight's broadcast. Are you literally, emotionally, spiritually, somehow painting yourself into a corner? Are you wanting fresh air, but you've got all the windows closed and the blinds and the curtains closed, and you don't know whether it's midnight or high noon? Are your doubts and fears so subtle, so ingrained into your daily life that you don't see these little inhibitors that you have created? Yes, you. You know that you're God's children. He loves you. You were born with a gift. His son Jesus paid for all your sins with his blood. All your sins are forgiven. So, that being said, and Satan, the devil, negative energy, perdition, whatever word you want to use, has no power. He's been defeated. He's on vacation. He's locked up. However you want to put that. So, if heaven doesn't get the credit, and hell can be blamed, then who's left? Who's responsible? For lack of a way to put it, your spiritual awareness, the ability to enjoy grace, to have every day be the best possible day it can be. And there's scripture that talks about this, doesn't it?
Yes. Yeah, it's really wonderful to be with everyone, and that was actually a great opening to, I believe, what's going to be a really good show, BJ. One of the reasons why we're talking this way is because, as we shared earlier, almost everywhere I go, the things that you just said in a nutshell, which was wonderful, a great summary, that's a huge problem. And the more I share things on grace, helping people to understand that they're a spirit being, beginning to show them what grace looks like, beginning to show them the folly of what the world looks like and how easy it is to get entrapped in the world, it's really wonderful to see people are really taking to this. And yet, I wanted us to have a show like this tonight, talking about the spirit again, like you said, doing a little diagnostic on your spirit, so that people could do something with the messages that they're hearing on their own.
Right.
Because it's not good enough to have someone talk about it from a platform and get excited about it, but then when you go home, you go right back and you slide right back into all these little subtle innuendos in your life that do nothing more than swallow you up. And this is something that I am experiencing from the testimonies of individuals almost everywhere I go. These things that we're sharing are very new to them, and I want to go over it a little bit more so they don't lose it.
Well, I don't know if we need to go over it anymore. I think we just need to go over it in maybe a different point of view.
Well, and that's good. Give them
a perspective, because the message that we've been given on these shows since the beginning are very clear. The only problem is that people are trying to bring heaven into their home. They're trying to bring Christ into their town. They're trying to bring grace down to a level that was never designed to be brought down to.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, where does it say in Scripture that God is going to come to Oklahoma or Alabama or Detroit, Michigan? No, because the only journey is not the journey of Christ. The only journey is for a human being to acknowledge that they are a spirit being, and it's time to go home.
Right.
Everybody has it backwards. And the reason they have it backwards is because life is backwards. And there's a very simple statement that I'm surprised people just don't get sick to their stomach from me saying. But it's really true. And it goes to the heart of it. There is nothing good
of this world.
Of this world. There's no good of it. What is that saying? It's saying that society, buildings, towns, rules, laws, jobs, schools, what you think is important, what you believe is actually tangible, are these little insignificant things that provide just enough of a layer between you and God.
Yeah, I'm looking at Jesus talking to the disciples here. The moment you started talking about that, I went over to John chapter 15, and verse 18 says, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own." Yes, because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. So Jesus is trying to draw a very, very definitive line.
All right, hold on a second. All right, I want you to go back. We need to tell everybody exactly,
Well, I did. It's John 15 and verse 18 and 19.
Okay, now read it again, because he literally talks about of the world. He uses that. He literally uses that statement. That if you're of the world, you're mistaken. If you're of the world, there's no success. You literally, it says, if the world hates you. Now, what you have to understand is that when Scripture was written, a phrase like, if the world hates you, isn't the same way that in 2012, when someone says the word hate. What they meant was, when he says, if the world hates you, what he means is if you are counter, if you are opposite of what you know to be real.
Right.
If you want to go to the right, but everybody is going to the left, and they're saying, you're wrong, you're going to the right. That's what Jesus refers to when he says, if the world hates you.
Right.
Now, read that again.
Yeah, and then there's another passage that you want me to read that'll help to even
just
bring that to light.
Go from one to the other.
It says, John 15, 18 and 19, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. And then the 17th chapter, he's praying for the disciples, and he says this, but now I come to you, verse 13, chapter 17, verse 13, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I mean, that's pretty plain right there.
Well, it is plain. And it's, think about this, ladies and gentlemen. Right now, what you've just heard Jim say, what you've just heard him read from Scripture, in your own home, with your own book, you can read this over and over again. If you do not believe that you are a spirit being, if you do not believe that there is a different philosophy, a different way of living your life, a different way of looking at yourself in the mirror, in privacy, these scriptures go to that, to show you. Because if you buy in to your sore knee, if you buy in to your swollen knuckles and finger joints, if you buy in to your doctor's prescriptions, if you buy into the fact that your neighbors or your friends or your coworkers or your family give you the impression that you are lesser than, that you are not as healthy, not as good, not as attractive, do not have enough money, do not live your life up to someone else's expectations. These are the things that are inhibitors that prevent you from realizing that you are a spirit being. Why? Because they suck you in to something that is no good. They suck you into the world. Because as a spirit being, we are all equal in the eyes of Christ.
Well, when we look at the scriptures and we put together, it really is saying exactly what you're explaining here in your few thoughts that you're giving, BJ. Really, the scriptures help us to see there is a huge difference between living in this world out of what we would call flesh and living in this world by the graces of God, by God's presence, by God's influence, however you want to say it. It really doesn't matter how you say it. It's the fact that he's here, he's real, he's tangible, and you can have a relationship with him, and the people that do have amazing things happen that are not beyond anything that is just normal and really natural for everyone to experience.
It's like some type of civilized religious doctrine hypnosis effect. You know, it's like going to Vegas or going to the circus or going to a magic show, and this guy's got a watch, and he gets somebody up on stage and he hypnotizes them, and he says, "Now you're a duck," and they start quacking and waddling like they're a duck, and then he says, "Now you're a dog," so they bark. That's what buildings, that's what structures, that's what organized religion has done to not the people that are listening to this broadcast, but their family tree right back to the roots. We're talking generations and generations of people that have literally been religiously hypnotized to believe that unless they are a certain way,
yeah,
act a certain way, participate a certain way, they're not allowed to have it, and they won't.
Right.
Because if you don't think this is true, ladies and gentlemen, then why is there Catholics, Methodists, Lutherans, Southern Baptists, Pentecostals, Jews, Buddhists, Hare Krishnas, all the kind of all the organizations in the world, because they all say the same thing. We're the way. It's us or not at all.
I'm laughing because I pulled up a scripture, and what you just said is so perfect for me to read this.
Read it.
It's Colossians 2, 8 and 10 in the Message Bible. It says, "Watch out for people who try to dazzle you with big words and intellectual double talk." Those are the hypnotists. "They want to drag you off into endless arguments that never amount to anything. They spread their ideas through the empty traditions of human beings and the empty superstitions of spirit beings. But that's not the way of Christ. Everything of God gets expressed in Him, so you can see Him and hear Him clearly. You don't need a telescope, a microscope, or a horoscope to realize the fullness of Christ and the emptiness of the universe without Him. When you come to Him, that fullness comes together for you too. His power extends over everything."
It goes to what we've talked about in over the last 2 to 3 shows, how your relationship with God doesn't depend on an organization or a congregation. Your relationship with God relies on your ability to be the individual child that's connecting with their parent.
Yes. Yes.
Why would it say when you want to pray and all prayers are answered, go in a room and shut the door?
Yeah, when I came to the ranch tonight, this was really what you just said. That was really my main concern that I'm seeing. You know, it's a very interesting thought, but this really does go back to religion. It goes back to the traditions of man, that we could build denominations, groups, if you will, businesses. We could build
It's all about business.
We could build these things based on the idea of serving God, but really never bringing people to God Himself. Because if you think about it, everything in this Bible that is encouraging to your soul really, really only makes sense when you meet God. It doesn't make the same kind of sense to try to trust in something that you've heard somebody else talk about. Someone else had a wonderful experience with God, but I've never met Him. And now I'm meeting this kind of thing all the time, BJ, in the healing schools.
Right.
And people are looking at me. And even today, one of the ladies, a sweet lady, and she's just talking about how much she's listened to the show, and for that I'm so thankful. She's probably listening tonight. And but there was fear in her life, such fear over, if you will, dismissing the idea that there's anything wrong in experiencing God's grace.
Right.
Because what would happen if I fall? What would happen if I pass out? And what would people think of me?
If I don't take my medicine, I'll die.
Right, that same mentality. And I was sharing with her, this fear is what you're hung up on. Right. And she made the comment, and I'm not saying this because there's anything bad. I'm sure she's listening tonight. And I'm thankful that you are. I listen to the show a lot. And I shared with her, you know, what's the possibility that you're trying so hard, you're actually in your own way by trying hard.
Overachieving.
And she got it, though. She said, I want to get out of my way. I said, relax.
Yeah, take a breath. It's not work. Being a Christian and having a relationship with God is anything but work. It's effortless. You know why it's effortless? Because it's a gift.
Yes, yes.
It's a gift.
Yeah.
It's like Christmas. Is it hard to sit in a chair and have somebody say, oh, here's one for Jim. Oh, here's another one for Jim. Is it hard for Jim to sit in that chair and open those gifts? No. Why? It was given to him.
Yeah,
they're gifts. And your grace is a gift. It's paid for.
Yeah, I love what's happening tonight already, because everything you're saying is the next verse of what I've got right here.
I wonder why that is.
I just wonder.
It's dumb luck.
It's
French fries.
It's better to be lucky than good, isn't it? Isn't that what you've said all your life?
There's one brand of French fries, and if you eat those French fries, you instantly talk with Jesus.
That's right.
They're Jesus fries. I'm going to start selling them on the show.
Do you know, if there was such a thing, we would just have so many people wanting them.
Yeah.
Colossians 2:11-15 in the Message Bible says, entering into this fullness. Remember, we just got through telling you, it says when you come to him, the fullness comes together for you too. Okay, it says, entering into this fullness is not something you figure out or achieve. It's not a matter of being circumcised or keeping a long list of laws. No, you're already insiders. Not through some secretive initiation, right? But rather through what Christ has already gone through for you, destroying the power of sin. If it's an initiation ritual you're after, you've already been through it by submitting to baptism. Going under the water was a burial of your old life. Coming up out of it was a resurrection. God raising you from the dead as he did Christ. Well, I could go on, and I don't need to, but it's saying exactly what you did.
Right.
This isn't about works. It's not about your effort, folks. This is about simply leaning back and trusting in God. In fact, let me insert this thought right now, because you've already heard my concern tonight, that as I'm preaching around the country, people are excited about this, but we want you to go home and live it.
Yeah.
We want you to go home and experience it. And I've got to share this point. In every area of anything that doesn't make sense, it's not your effort that makes it make sense. It's literally making a decision, drawing a line in the sand and saying, I choose to believe that. That will be my new life.
Right.
It's about, and we talked about this earlier, your old life is gone. It's over.
Right.
Stop trying to have the life that you had and bringing Christ into it. Your old life is gone.
Well, it goes right to the resurrection of Jesus. You know, I mean, they nailed him to a pole, you know, let him bleed out, wrapped him with stickers and thorns, threw him in a cave and, you know, buried it with rocks. And then his dad sent him to hell for a couple days on a camping trip. And then he was risen up. What's the point of that? The point is that look at what that says. Look what that displays. That there is nothing good of what you think reality in the world is. That if you're willing to submit yourself to Christ, all your sins will be forgiven, and then you're reborn.
Yes.
That's exactly what that says.
And that's the great
message. That's the whole point of him sacrificing his son.
Yes.
It wasn't just because he ran out of birds to invent or create, fish or something. No, it was because even in the time that Jesus was walking around from village to village, town to town, so many did not get the point.
Yeah, yeah, really, really good. And we've got a guest here tonight.
We do. She's going to be starting her own show for teenagers. And her name is Shelley Love. Yes, her last name is Love. She changed it from Hate to Love legally. So now it's Shelley Love. And, okay, what's the name of your show that's going to be starting in just a little bit of time?
Love's Final Word.
Love's Final Word.
That's it.
Where are you going to be doing it from?
Right here, live at the ranch.
In the barn.
In the barn.
Well, what do you, I want to ask you a question, because always on the show, I always talk about the low-income, poor people, people in third-world countries, headhunters, and out in the middle of Africa and South America, the Aborigines, American Indians, Eskimos, small kids, senior citizens. They all seem to have an amazing connection instantly with God, and I've always said it's because they're not wrapped up in the world.
Yeah.
They don't have a lot of junk going on in their lives. They don't have a lot of drama. They're not so connected to reality. Do you find that since you minister and counsel teenagers, and the point of your show is do you think that they have an open mind because they still have not really gone out into the world to participate as an adult? Do you notice that?
Yeah, the interesting thing to me, and I've been here before while y'all doing a show, but this is my first time to sit on the entire show, and it's interesting that y'all are talking about the things you're doing, because the things that have kind of been stirring in me concerning the show that we're going to do and how the format will be is all can be summed up in the fact that I want to try to help teenagers be more acclimated to their spiritual life than their natural life. And I think what you're asking and the question that you're asking is that from a very young age, we're all born into this world, and our parents do a very good job at acclimating us to the natural world around us. Don't touch the stove, it's hot. Don't run out into the street, there's cars out there. And
right.
We are not in the churches or in the buildings and structures, as you all say here, really acclimating them to who they really are as a spirit,
well,
what they really have.
How can they? How can a mom and dad who aren't really sure themselves and have those questions and that feeling that there's got to be something different that we talked about at the opening of the show, how can they not, for lack of knowledge and lack of their own lifestyle and their own frame of mind, how can they possibly raise a child to have something that they don't have themselves?
It's true. You can't. You can't do something that you don't understand or give somebody an understanding of something that you don't understand. And that's why I'm so thankful that you all are here and that we're going to be doing what we're doing with the teenagers and to really help them be more acclimated and have an understanding of who they really are, because otherwise they'll continue to walk
in
what they know.
Well, that's why somebody that's in their 30s, 40s, or 60s or 70s, because if you ask them, why do you go to this facility?
Right.
Why are you a participant in this particular organized religion? You know what the first thing they say is? Well, this is where I was baptized.
Yeah.
This is where my mom and dad went.
Yeah.
This is where my grandparents went. This is where I was married. This is where my grandparents had their funeral.
Yeah.
Well, what is that? That is tradition. That is learned
That's right.
behavior.
Yeah, it is.
Mm-hmm. That is a habit. It's no different than they say that a child that is brought up with parents that abuse drugs and alcohol, and there's some type of animal or child abuse in that home, that the children believe that's what reality is, and that they are predisposed to possibly carry that into an adult. Why would that not apply to something so seriously taken as Christianity?
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't it? It is.
Yeah, it is. You know, when you get into the religious, if we're going to talk about religion and the way people are brought up, I know that really well, saved at 4 years of age. You're not brought up really with an understanding of questioning things.
True.
It's just the way that it is, and this is the way it's always been.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at those that are older than you to figure out what you're going to look like when you get their age, and then you pretty much have the game figured out. It doesn't really take you that long. And so it doesn't take long for you to become disinterested,
mm-hmm.
and to figure out that God doesn't really answer prayers. No prayer that's been asked has ever gotten answered.
Mm-hmm.
And we're always burying people, and we're always going to the hospital for people, and they're always getting sick, and people are always being miserable,
because
we still sing the same songs, and we still clap on the same beat, and we...
Because here's where it goes, to that scripture that you read out of John, where it talks about if the world hates you,
right,
if you're doing something different. Because if you refuse the prescription, if you refuse the ice pack for your child's injury, if you decide not to drive with your glasses that you are supposed to have, if you do not fill the prescription, if you do not take the pain pills, you do not have the biopsy, then what are you doing? You're literally the odd man out.
Yeah.
You are the exception to what is considered real and normal.
Well, I can share a testimony.
That is a lot of peer pressure.
It is.
It's true.
And go ahead.
Well, I share a testimony that goes right along those lines. Back when I was, it was my senior year. Actually, I started having problems in my intestines, actually a little bit during my senior year playing football in the fall, but for sure by spring, things had kicked in and I'm starting to have problems. Now, again, this is how religion does to you, and there's a lot of people out there that you can identify with this. And that is, I started having problems, went to the doctors. Doctors couldn't right away tell me what the problems were. And I actually prayed a prayer. This shows you how ridiculous. But BJ, this is how dumbed down you are to accept something that in the world you wouldn't even accept.
No.
But I literally prayed a prayer and said, God, help them to find something so that we can get some medicine to treat it.
Right.
Instead of saying, well, if they can't find it, then who's to say I got anything?
I like the story of the guy that I met in a grocery store with his wife that know you, listen to the show, and come to your healing schools. And he says, well, it's my eyes. And he says, I have to wear glasses. And I says, why do you have to wear glasses? And he says, well, but I can't see to drive without them. And I said, you know what? And I talked to him for quite a while, like 25, 30 minutes in the grocery store in the produce section. And they know who they are, and hello to them. Don't want to embarrass them by saying their names or anything. But bananas were on sale. That's all I'm going to say. But anyways, we were in the store. We're in the produce section of this store talking. And I says, when you leave here, don't wear your glasses. Just thank God. Say, you know, thank you for not needing my glasses. And what did he tell you? He said he tried to drive without his glasses. here's it's about words. It's about what he truly said. He literally said, I almost got in an accident. Almost. Almost isn't anything.
Yeah, it's not an accident yet.
No,
it's almost.
No, unless you're like, you know, like what they say, you know, almost doesn't count unless it's a grenade or horseshoes. That's really true.
Right.
And because what he didn't have to do this. I want to make sure I say this because I don't want to hurt this guy's feelings. But when he almost got in an accident, if he would have said, thank you, Grace, for allowing me to see so I didn't have an accident.
That's right. Yeah.
His vision would have instantly been 20/20.
Yeah, that's right.
Because where was his energy?
Right.
Where was his conviction?
Right.
At first, his intentions were wholeheartedly and genuine.
That's right.
Because he said, you know, I'm going to listen to this crazy cowboy. I'm going to walk out of this grocery store. I'm going to get in my vehicle, and I'm not going to put my glasses on.
Right.
You know, and fortunately, you know, I guess his wife, his co-pilot, she's a victim, you know, probably had seatbelts wrapped around him three times. But they had an opportunity here.
Sure.
They had an opportunity to identify as a spirit being. They had an opportunity to give tangibility to grace and to give the power healing of grace. But at that defining moment, almost is nothing. It wasn't a fender bender. It wasn't a ticket. He didn't jump a curb. He didn't run over a duck or hit a tree.
Right.
He almost means that truly nothing happened wrong.
Right, right.
At that moment, he could have been thankful and acknowledged grace.
Yes.
But at that moment, reality, the world literally sucked him back in.
Right.
And he put his glasses on and thought, boy, that was close.
Right. Now, this is why I said what I said.
This happens with pain.
Well, of course it does. And this is why I was going to, you know, I'll get back to that story. Because, again, the way people are brought up in a religious type atmosphere, they take your ability to figure out and to come up with the right questions that lead you to the right answers. It's always that way.
Yes.
And this is why, you know, I had that situation. So here I bought into the idea that I had what was called Crohn's disease, and here I am with a grapefruit-sized tumor, abscess on my belly, couldn't walk. My dad had to, I'm 170 pounds, my dad had to literally pick me up and carry me into the hospital. My mom prays for me, and this tumor literally starts to come out of my body. And the doctors freaked out and said, my goodness, because I preached to him as a good Baptist boy, preached to him about Jesus, loving God, but I didn't know anything about healing. And I didn't know anything about figuring this out. So here I am, and the doctor said, well, we're not going to do surgery now because of what happened. Obviously, somebody's watching out for you, and that we're just going to let you stay here in this condition and see what happens. Well, I'm 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm sitting there, and God speaks to me as much as I know you're talking on the broadcast tonight, BJ, and Shelley's here. He speaks to me and says, get up, go home. On the way home, I'll heal you. It sounds just like Jesus talking to the lepers. Mm-hmm. Go and show yourself to the priest. Yeah. Same thing. So I'm excited. I'm ready to go. And there's nothing wrong with, I'm not speaking against my mom and dad or my sister, but I called relatives and said, this is what's getting ready to happen. And their first thought, because again, we weren't taught to figure things out. We're just taught to go along with things. It's amazing. We were taught to be doormats when it comes to everything but Jesus Christ is the Lord. We'd stand up and we'd fight you over that. But everything else, as far as how it worked in our lives, literally we became doormats to any circumstance.
They being organized religion, they being structures and buildings and not a church, they have to manipulate, misconstrue, and misrepresent Scripture. They have to. Because if they don't, then the proof is in the pudding. It means, what's the point of going?
But that's,
what are you telling me? Because it's working.
I understand, but that,
well,
that
you
even
do, but the people listening to the show don't.
Right, but this what you just said totally makes the point, really, where you can't argue it. Because just look at even all of the good, and I know people, we knew families, we knew pastors, we were close to people that loved God, loved you as people, but they were in a cycle. They never figured it out. They were taught to not think. They were taught to not reason. They were taught to not to look at a situation that doesn't work and literally jump right over it like you're jumping over a puddle, don't want to get wet. And you come up with reasons that are of the world to make excuses.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They were taught that.
Well, this goes to teenagers and peer pressure, Shelley, because Shelley loves here, and she's going to be starting her own show, Love's Final Word, be sometime in September, and it'll be, and don't worry, we'll let you know when it's
going. How long did you work on coming up with that
too long
title?
weeks.
But right to it.
On peer pressure, Shelley, as far as teenagers are concerned, oh my gosh, because it's about fashion, about haircuts, about grades, about athleticism, how good you are. Are you too cool for school? Are you one of the cool kids? I mean, all these things go into how someone thinks, acts, and feels as a teenager. And it really doesn't stop because it's perpetuated in college. It's perpetuated in the workplace. But yet, as they're children, they're teenagers, but they're still kids. As a child, and as you travel around the country talking to these groups of teenagers, don't you see where they kind of look at each other to see if it's okay to say or accept something?
Yeah, they do. And really, people want to really put that as a stigma on teenagers, but really anybody does that, whether you're 16 years old or 60 years old. And but it's really prevalent at as a teenager and at that age. And what we are seeing, though, is we're seeing, I mean, there's teenagers listening to this broadcast right now. I know it. I hear from them. I talk to them. They're in churches that Jim goes to, that I go to, and they're getting a hold of this message. And really, teenagers are at such a pivotal place in their life and really trying to get their footing. You give them the right information, they start rising up with this message and understanding. We've got teenagers in schools all across America, in public schools, in Christian schools, standing up, beginning to understand that they are a spirit and they don't have to succumb to the things of this world. That's just not, they don't have to live that way. And as they begin to rise up, teenagers are just looking for strength. They're right. Looking for somebody. If you want to be strong about drinking, okay, I'll follow along. If you want to be strong about this or that or the other thing, they just fall into place.
We really have teenagers listening to the show? I didn't know that.
Do you remember the young lady emailed in when I was on here last time?
Yeah.
That was a teenager.
Really?
Stacey. She's probably listening tonight.
Do you know that, Jim, did you know we have teenagers?
No. I didn't know that.
Okay.
That's pretty good.
For the record, I just want to tell all the kids out there, from me, from BJ to you, Jesus loves chocolate pudding.
That's great.
I happen to think it's chocolate chip cookies.
That's great.
And we have a dog in the studio.
We do.
And we're in a barn with animals. I mean, you know, this is so, I mean, there is nothing about the abiding presence that could be considered Christian-like as far as the world is concerned. And obviously, Shelley's new show, Love's Final Word, it isn't either.
Mm-hmm.
Because if she wants it, the ranch in this barn is not the place. But what's interesting is even Shelley and her friends who've come to talk to me have said when they step out of their vehicles, they literally feel grace.
It's true. You know, and I know Jim's got something to say, and I certainly don't want to take up your time here. When he was sharing the testimony that he just shared, and you were talking what you're talking about and talking about getting on the ranch here, and then right before the show, Jim was just sharing some things with me that's been happening in his life, just simple things, or what we would consider simple things about how grace just takes care of things. And I tell you, you said something the other day when you were talking about ministering or just talking to people,
right,
not as a minister, but just sharing what grace does with you. He said, we really need to teach people how to listen. And if there's one thing that I would encourage people on this show is don't listen the way we've really been taught to listen,
right,
and just conditioned to sit down in your chair and accept things as we've accepted it and just think, okay, yeah, I'm a spirit, I understand that. No, you don't understand it, because if you did understand it, you wouldn't be struggling with
the
things.
Well, you'd be experiencing it.
Exactly. Well, yeah.
And so,
that's a good point.
I came out here to the ranch not too many weeks ago for the first time, had known Jim for quite a while and had met BJ before, and really began to listen to this message differently. One night, after I'd been out here for quite a few hours listening to BJ and just talk about grace and different things, and I heard it different because I chose to listen to it different. I'm going down 131st Street, headed to my house, and my husband texts me, who is putting our children to bed, and says, do I give Caroline cough medicine tonight? And she'd had it every night for about 3 nights. And after hearing for 3 hours this message, exactly what they're sharing with you tonight, because BJ, if you listen to him and he talks about his day, just telling you, well, Grace took care of this for me. And you're looking around, where's Grace? You know, my youngest child, her middle name is Grace. And I'm going, Grace, you know, Caroline Grace? Wait, Grace. And he's like, oh, yeah, well, I did. And Grace just took care of this. And you just become it just gives you a different awareness of different things when you're around people that talk that way, and not just talking that way, but are experiencing things that way. And so he texted, as soon as I read it, I thought, no, because Grace can take care of that. And so I texted him back, and I said, no, don't give it to her. And I didn't hang up. The text was over, and I said, so Grace, take care of that. And for weeks, she had a runny nose. The next morning, she wakes up, and there's no runny nose.
Yeah. Yeah, that's perfect. It's a great example.
Exactly. Next day, something else happened. It was me and my husband were standing there, and I went, and he looked at me, and he went, Grace took care of that. And I said, exactly.
Yes.
It's changed, beginning the little things and big things in my life.
I've never once literally prayed, asked for anything. If anything, I've demanded or I've said, really? It's not done yet? Are you kidding me? You know, what are you doing? Are you guys like taking naps? Are you shooting pool and drinking beer? Where are you? You're really going to allow this to happen? I really have to endure this? Mm-hmm. I really have to go through this? Are you kidding me? No. Where are you? You're late. Do your job. And religious people go, right. Oh my gosh, they want to run because they know right. Any moment now there's going to be at least a dozen lightning bolts just zapping me right out of my boots and Wranglers. You know, and my spurs are just going to light on fire from the electricity. But then they'll say something like this, and I feel so sad and so melancholy. They'll say, I can't believe how God loves you. You have an amazing relationship with the Lord.
Yeah.
He does all kinds of amazing things for you. You're so lucky, and you know, God has a special plan for you, obviously. Well, what if they just said, I'm not good enough, I'm not special, this is random, it's like a lottery ticket,
right.
I haven't earned it, I haven't deserved it, and I look at him and I go, you're kidding me.
Right.
Look at me. I got holes in my Wranglers. I got mud on my boots. I haven't shaved in 3 days. My hair is long. And I smell like a horse. And you're telling me that I'm blessed special. Really? I look like a before and after picture.
Yeah, but they're just responding the way they've been taught.
That's my point.
And that's
what I wanted you to say. And right. I want you to back this up with something in the book. Whatever yeah. book you got. You got a Bible with you, right?
I got a bunch of books here.
All right. Well, really? What kind of books have you got? Yeah,
well, I'll share this one first.
Well, while you're looking that up.
I don't need to look it up. It's already got it.
Well, hold on. I want to say hello to Fred. I got to remember to thank Fred.
Right.
Because Fred in Germany is sending me candy. And candy is right up. Jesus loves candy. Jesus loves chocolate pudding and cherry Kool-Aid.
Fred, send it to my P.O. box. I'll give it to BJ. I like that.
No.
Anyhow, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 4. I just wanted all the young folks out there that are listening to actually know that God's really cool, because the things that Shelley and BJ were talking about are right in here. Jordan translation says, don't let your good looks depend on external things like fancy hairdos, expensive jewelry, and fashionable clothes, but on the inner radiance of a gentle and sweet spirit which does not fade with age. Or in other words, on your spirit, your heart, the person that you are. And that scripture right there, I don't really think what Peter's saying is you can't wear something that's nice. You can't wear something and have a nice hairdo. He's trying to say, don't let all of your attention be on things that are you're pressured to by yeah. the rest of the kids and by the rest of society that makes you try to feel like you got to look like this, you got to have this, you got to do this in order to fit in. Start to learn that you're a spirit being and everybody's going to want to fit in with you. Mm-hmm. Because while everybody else is afraid of something, you're going to stand up and say, we don't have to be afraid of it. And grace will literally take care of the situation. People will say it's a miracle. And you'll just say, well, I experience stuff like that all the time. God's just doing wonderful things in my life. And Shelley, I was going to comment what you said, because as we were talking earlier, you know, we were sharing some things. What you just experienced, think of how quickly you had two experiences back to back. And this is what I'm beginning to see, because it goes right along with Philemon verse 6 that says that your faith become effectual by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ. So what begins to happen is the more you begin to acknowledge God and acknowledge grace and begin to look for it and see it, because the moment you look for grace, what are you doing? You're literally turning your back on what you would normally participate in. So it's an amazing testimony to Christ that you're saying, grace or the Holy Spirit, God's power, I'm looking for you all day long.
Yeah.
And all you do is, when you do that, is you open your heart to set yourself up to see it all day long.
Yeah.
And the more you see it, the more it works for you.
Well, it sounds like a bad metaphor and it sounds like a bad example, but it really goes to people to really understand about grace, and it really does make sense. And I haven't come up with a better one. If you take gambling, somebody starts off going to a casino on a Saturday night every couple of weeks, and then they're going on a Friday night, And before you know it, they're going on their lunch break. And they're hanging out at the casino. They know all the waitresses. They know all the parking attendants. They know what machines pay off. And before you know it, they're broke. And they're literally camping out every day of the week at the casino. Then you have somebody that starts off with just having a beer with the boys on a Friday night. Well, then some of the boys go every night. Well, then before you know it, they're drinking every day. They're drinking on the job, and they're now an alcoholic. It's the same with drugs. Maybe they just tried drugs once on a Saturday night at a party with friends, or they just try smoking a little marijuana on a camping trip, and what's the harm? I don't do it that often. Well, what happens is they start to do things slowly, and it's a habit. I mean, you just don't go to bed a size 5 and wake up a size 25. I mean, you know, there's a lot of trips to the grocery store and drive-up windows to gain 20 sizes in clothes.
Right.
I mean, you just don't gain weight overnight. It's a slow progression of changing your eating habits and your exercise program. You know, it just doesn't happen overnight. It's a habit. That's what grace is like. Mm-hmm. First, you experience a smidgen of it, and you're grateful for it.
That's right.
You're hungry.
Yep.
You're thirsty for it. Well, it snowballs. Why would it not snowball twice as fast as a dirty snowball? I know, a yellow one, yellow snow. Nobody wants terrible yellow snow. Okay. Oh, well, if you've got a yellow snowball and you've got a pure white snowball and yellow is bad and good is Christ, what do you think the mathematical odds are that that white snowball is going to gain speed and become greater and overshadow and literally make the yellow snowball look like the size of a marble?
Yeah, that's really good.
Well, folks, that is called a spiritual habit.
You want to hear a scripture that backs up?
Yellow snowballs is in the Bible?
It actually says, I usually can
you
find
just
them.
Said what?
I usually can find them, but I got one that backs it up.
Oh, man, Romans, I was going to say, wow, yellow snow in the Bible? Okay, go on.
Romans chapter 8, verse 13, and I'm going to read it out of a different translation here. It's called the Wade translation. It says, "For if you live as the flesh would have you live," yellow snow, okay?
Right.
"You are destined to die. But if by the help of spiritual influences you deal a death blow to the activities that originate with the body, you will live." I mean, Paul's basically saying here, you need to recognize once you get in Christ,
right,
it's over.
Yes.
The old life, it's gone. You don't have even a say-so anymore.
Why would you want to go back?
But that is exactly my point, and that's why I came out here, not with a burden, but with knowledge of traveling all over the country and seeing what people are struggling with, BJ. And this is it. It really comes down to people are not experiencing God. They're getting religion.
Yes.
So they don't know what they're missing.
Yeah. No. They don't, because they've never touched it.
And it's touchable. That's what we're trying to tell everybody. Grace is touchable. God is touchable.
You don't have to receive grace. You already have it.
Yes, you do.
You don't have to work for it. You don't have to search for it. You have it. All you have to do is decide, instead of being a human being, you want to live as a spirit being.
Yes.
It's that, and why would it not be so ridiculously simple and infantile?
Right.
Because you're asking, folks, think of it this way. A building, a structure, a religious organization, they want you to work. They want you to work. They want you to put effort in. They want you to log hours. They want you to throw money at the door. Why? Because that's all there is to get.
Yeah. If they
can keep you busy enough,
right,
you think you're getting enough.
Again, if a structure, if a religious organization has not experienced God themselves, and that's all they have, then that's why you come up with all the structure.
Yes.
You come up with all the rules. You come up with all the classes that everybody needs to go to. We have another class. We have another There's people have come to us and asked us, would you take on this responsibility? We said, well, yes, we'll take it on. How many people would like to volunteer to be a part of this particular structure or class?
Right.
And you have all of those things.
And telephone lines, call
us. Telephone lines, all of it
helps
people to feel like they're getting something. And they're going somewhere, but I guarantee you, and I travel all over the world, I guarantee you, when you call for how many people need healing, I mean, 8 out of 10 people come running up to the front because they're not receiving of the spirit the things that change their life. They're receiving of the flesh things that make them busier.
Yes.
Now, I want to share this, an experience that I had, because I was in a really wonderful church called Cornerstone in Moulton, Alabama, and the pastor is Tony Collins. What a great guy he is. And we had a really, really wonderful time. And BJ, I mean, I was no sooner with Pastor Tony, and we're traveling 20 minutes from the airport to Longhouse Longhorn Steakhouse. And we actually had to circle the building because we couldn't find a parking spot. And as we came around the second time, a car was coming out. We pulled right in. We walked in, and there had to be at least 20 people, possibly more, possibly a few less, but at least around 20. And we walked in, and we thought, well, this doesn't look too bad. And he asked me, he said, how long do you mind waiting? I said, well, we don't have anything to do. I said, this is a good place to eat. Let's eat. So he asked, and they said, well, to get you seated, it'll take at least 20 minutes. So we had our little, you know, contraption that they have, you know, that rings and buzzes and all that. And so we're standing there, and we stood over by a bookshelf. We no sooner engaged in conversation about spiritual things that we were talking about, and literally, I would say, under a minute, all of a sudden, our little contraption vibrates. And the person that saw us, we were standing right there, said, wow, that was a really quick 20 minutes, wasn't it? And Tony looks at me and he says, well, that's favor for you. I said, yeah, that's grace. Mm-hmm. And we get escorted to our table. And now I'm thinking in my head, you know, according to what would be more of a figuring it out earthly wise, I'm thinking it must be a small little table, you know, that mm-hmm. they're going to give us. It only seats 2.
Right.
They stick us in a booth that seats 6. We sit in this booth, I mean, comfortably 4, but easily we could have even put in 6.
Mm-hmm.
We sit down, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, there's no way to explain this except grace. And within a second, the guy is there, gets our drinks, even has our appetizer within 4 minutes. And we're looking at each other going, wow, this is favor. I said, Tony, this is how it's starting to work in my life. It's happening like this. This is grace. It's just working like this. And the more, of course, underneath my breath, I just said, thank you, grace.
Yeah.
Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord. Because that's exactly what is starting to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a comment I really wanted to bring our focus to, because I like the whole deal with the white snow and the yellow snow. It could have been any color you want to make it. But the point is, you'll start experiencing it more and more and more. And I want everybody to realize, it's not just that you start experiencing parking spaces opening up and you start experiencing, like BJ and I did Saturday. We're in here talking. This is before I went to Alabama, okay? I had to come early because I had to leave, pack, and get home to go to the airport.
This one kind of got you for a second.
It was awesome. It was great.
This one kind of gave you a pause.
I'm sitting here, and we're talking. And all of a sudden, it just pours. And remember what I said? I said, well, I think the guys want us to stay here and talk a little longer because it's pouring outside. So we talked a little bit more. We walked outside. It's literally sheets of rain coming down. And I said, well, it's time for me to go. And BJ comes right on the hind and says, well, it's time for me to do chores. And the moment both of those statements were made, like you clapped your hands.
Not a drop.
Instantly. I don't know how it could dry up that fast, but literally there's not a drop.
No rain.
No rain. I walk out.
No thunder, no lightning.
Not a drop gets on me. BJ walks out. Not a drop gets on him.
I did all the chores, gathered the eggs. I turned the horses out, checked fences and gates, filled up water tanks, fed the barn cats. And when I stepped on my porch, I said, thank you, grace. And it literally started raining again.
That's awesome.
And I walked in the house. And And I just said, you know, I really appreciate the fact that you guys didn't make me put on my rubber chore boots. I didn't have to take my, my working horse boots to put on chore boots. And I didn't get muddy. I didn't get wet. My dog, Ranger, was with me. Her paws were damp, but she wasn't muddy or anything.
Yeah, well, I made it home without a drop on me. Got in my car and, of course, pulled into my garage. So it just goes to show you that grace is wonderful. It'll do great things. But this is my point I wanted to make, and we can back this up. The moment you start experiencing grace, it's not just all those good things that you experience. You'll start having your eyes open to things that you're participating in that are harmful for you. Yeah. In other words, grace will protect you.
Yeah.
Not only from the rain so that you can get out of it and get into your car, but it'll protect you by showing you things that you're participating in that you need to stop.
Not only does it protect you, but you don't care about them. The more tangible grace becomes to you, the more time you spend in the spirit being and being a child of God, the less you care about the world. You really don't care.
Right.
It doesn't matter. You know, storm coming. I don't care. You know, we're almost out of peanut butter. I don't care. You're going to be late for work. You know the traffic. I don't care. You literally become complacent because you know those things really don't matter. And that if you buy into them, if you tie into them, they literally, it's like a toilet. You're going to start circling the drain, and you're just going to go whoosh. You're going to get flushed because you've allowed yourself to be a part of it.
Yeah, now, and I'm glad Shelley's here to hear this particular part, but let's tie in right now. And yet, and I know we've got plenty of time.
We got a lot of time.
I do have some other things I want to share that go with this, but let's take a moment and tie in here because we used to talk about these things a lot, and we haven't, you know, in a long time, you and I personally. But what you just got through saying about not caring about that, not caring about this, not caring about that, that is what helps you to turn loose of so many arguments.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Unnecessary discussions.
Drama.
Thank you. Drama. And things that literally can swallow you up and steal away your peace. These things are going on in people's lives constantly, and the grace of God will literally help you to not care and not participate.
It's real interesting because, you know, there's an old colloquial saying, don't make a mountain out of a molehill.
Right.
When you're experiencing grace, you don't even notice a molehill. You know, people think that the way you find God and the way you experience grace is to pray more. It's literally the opposite. And we've talked about this before in many ways, but think of it this way. If you're living with grace and grace is taking care of you, Scripture backs this up, and you have a wonderful relationship with God, what's there to pray about? What's really required? What do you need? You know, it's kind of like what we talk about, the Betty Crocker cookbook and Betty Crocker. Why do you need the Betty Crocker cookbook if you're making cookies with Betty Crocker? What point would that serve?
Right.
And if she's watching you, guiding you, making sure that your cookie batter is great and that you've got the world's greatest cookie sheet, and the cookies aren't going to burn, and it's her oven, and what would you really worry about? You would relax. Because why? Betty Crocker's doing all the work. I'm just kind of here taking credit for it. That's grace.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what a parent does for a child.
Yes.
If we are made in his image, and we are his children, and it says everywhere in the Bible that is true. Well, he has no limits. He has no boundaries. If grace is that awesome and that powerful, what are we really supposed to do?
Yeah.
Except sit back, shut up, relax, and say thank you very much, and enjoy.
Yeah, and this goes to
Is there a scripture that says,
sit down, shut up, and enjoy? Well, no, I didn't get that. but this goes over here, Galatians 2:20. It really goes to helping you to see that this new life that we have, you really need to accept it as it's a brand new life. Your old life is over. Stop trying to bring the experiences of Christ into an old life and to old experiences. Just go ahead and accept that you got a brand new one. Because over here, Paul makes the statement. He says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. Now notice he says, yes, I am living, but it's not me anymore. It's Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I like the Message Bible says, the life you see me living is not mine, but it is lived by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Weymouth translation says, the life which I now live in the body, I live through faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up on my behalf. Now I want to finish this, and that is the very next part of the verse here. And I've got to read this here from the New King James this time. But the next part of the verse, it tells us that... let me see, get here to Galatians chapter 2, just a moment.
While he's looking at, folks, I want to remind you that you can email the show. I'd love to just have an email right now. It's theabidingpresence@gmail.com. You can find it on the Abiding Presence website contact page. Just email us and say you're listening. Say, hi, this is Bob in Chicago. Or if we've got some teenagers out there and they think that chocolate pudding rocks, send me an email. Get your name on the show and say hello. And also with us in the studio tonight is Shelley Love. She's going to be starting a show for younger adults, teenagers, people that haven't been completely messed up by the world, called Love's Final Word. It's going to be on Thursday evenings, starting at 8 o'clock in September, and you'll find we'll have all kinds of talk about it when the show starts, but you'll be listening to this show, and we'll have links from Shelley's website to the Abiding Presence website to help out. And Jim, did you find your... Okay, now tell everybody where it is.
Okay, we're here at the roadmap of Galatians chapter 2. And verse 19 to 21 in the Message Bible. I'm going to read this. This is fantastic. Because it brings in the whole idea of grace. Verse 21 talks about not frustrating the grace of God. Learning how to live out of your spirit is what allows grace to literally have free course. In other words, freedom to work in your life and do amazing things. Okay, listen to this, and it's going to be written in modern language. The Message Bible says, what actually took place is this. I tried keeping rules and working my head off to please God, and it didn't work. So I quit being a lawman so that I could be God's man. Christ's life showed me how and enabled me to do it. I identified myself completely with him. Indeed, I have been crucified with Christ. My ego is no longer central. It is no longer important that I appear righteous before you or have your good opinion. And I'm no longer driven to impress God. Christ lives in me. The life you see me living is not mine, but it is lived by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I am not going to go back on that. Is it not clear to you that to go back on that old rule-keeping, peer-pleasing religion would be an abandonment of everything personal and free in my relationship with God? I refuse to do that, to repudiate God's grace. If a living relationship with God could come by rule-keeping, then Christ died unnecessarily. Man, Paul's saying everything we're talking about.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. I mean, it's nice to have scripture.
How does that work?
It's just, I don't know.
It's a miracle!
It is. It's just a good night. That's all it is.
It's those Jesus French fries.
It is, I tell you.
You know, we got an email here, and his name is Chris Love. Do you know who Chris Love is, Shelley?
Chris Love. That name sounds really familiar to me.
Well, that's your
he's
husband.
He's not a teenager.
No, he's not. Chris Love is Shelley Love's husband, and he sends an email to the show, and this is his email. It says, Shelley, I love you, and it says toothpaste, toilet paper, deodorant, fudgesicles, cat litter. Apparently, he wants you to pick up a few things on the way home.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't. It just says...
I thought he was serious.
I did.
No.
Jim
no,
says.
actually, Chris Love has the distinction of being our IT guy.
Yes.
He builds and designs the websites for us. And
you got me on that one.
Yeah, and so if you like the way the Abiding Presence website looks, and if you like the way Love's Final Word website look, Shelley's, you may want to talk to Chris about helping you with a website. And then it says, you guys are the most awesome people ever.
He got that one right, and if that wasn't what he said, then just let's
no,
go
that
on.
Is, no, that's exactly what he
well,
said. See, folks,
much.
That's how easy it is to email the show. I think what's real interesting about Paul and Paul's letters is if you look at Paul's writings, and I've talked to you about this many times in this room when we haven't been on the air, Paul was nothing but a nag. I told you so. I mean, all of Paul's writings really refer to, wake up and smell the coffee, you know this stuff. You've seen it, you've heard it, why aren't you doing it? That was literally, he was basically like sending poison pen letters, saying, come on, do
well,
this. You know,
Paul had to do this for all the different people groups.
He did, and that's what's real interesting. Because the reason Paul's letters, they all had the same nuance.
Yeah, the same ring to them.
The same message.
Yes.
There is a God. Enjoy grace. You know this. You don't have to live this way. You don't have to feel this way. You don't have to think this way. But what's real interesting, why it was letters is because the letters were written in such a manner. And things were phrased in such a way that related very specifically to each group and person he wrote to. That is so not religion. That is so not an organized building. Because if you walk in there, they want you to sit down, shut up. This is our message. Either you gotta, if you want to get along, you have to go along.
So what you're saying is he honed in each message individually for the people that he's talking to.
That's my point.
So that he could get them out of where they were.
Yes.
And get them into an experience with God.
I wanted you to contribute exactly what you said, sort of. And because it goes to the fact of people have to recognize that they are individuals.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That, ladies and gentlemen, the true love of God is not parting the Red Sea. The true love of God is literally sitting back on his hands, watching you try to choose grace and to make choices that are so counterproductive to grace. Grace is an amazing thing. It's like free satellite TV. All the popcorn and candy you want, all the green lights, everything fits, everything works. It's that and so much more. If you literally just sit down and take a deep breath and really assess how you're living your life, and this isn't easy. You're not going to be a happy camper, because what you're really doing is you have to peel your life away like layers of an onion, like pages of a really bad book. And you just keep flipping the pages and peeling the layers away and away. You're going to come down to a point where you just say, enough is enough. And you're going to listen to this show. You're going to read scripture. You're going to listen to the books, the chapters and the verses that Jim has given on this broadcast. And all of a sudden, you're going to say, why not? And that's all it takes, is to have an open heart and an open mind. Because if you're not feeling grace, your heart isn't open. Your mind is closed. All you have to do is unlock the door, and grace will walk in. You don't have to listen for a knock. You don't have to take it off the hinges. You don't have to crack it open. But the day-to-day dramas, the issues, the fears, the doubts, the prescriptions, the pains, the peer pressures, all these things are what keep that door jammed shut. What does that mean? That all of it is on your side of the door, not God's.
Yeah, you know, if you think this is an interesting time maybe to switch to some of the things I was going to share, but when you think of something so simple, Shelley, like Jesus giving us such an important last word before he went up into heaven, and he said, "Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you." If you just put that to the tune of grace, you can see grace will never leave you, never forsake you. It's with you always, even That's unto good. The end of the age.
Yeah,
it's always there.
Right.
And the decisions that we make is exactly... In fact, tonight we've really shared something. There's no one that shouldn't have gotten it. About beginning to acknowledge grace, looking for grace, beginning to open up your heart to grace, or to the work of the Holy Ghost, however you want to say it's fine.
Right.
We're not gonna get in there and try to make a discussion on that. The power of the Holy Ghost, the glory of God, God's anointing, a lot of different ways you say it. We're just using it by grace because we're living in a dispensation of grace. Everybody needs to realize grace is everywhere. God's free-flowing favor and ability to do for you what you can't do for yourself is literally in the air that you're breathing.
Yeah.
And if you'll give it just a small bit of acknowledgement, then all of a sudden you'll begin to recognize it in a greater and greater degree. And so, you know, when I look at some of these things, as a minister, I want to help people more and more become God inside-minded. And I remember Brother Hagin made a comment years ago. You probably remember hearing him say that too. That no one has ever done anything for Jesus that he knows of that has not been God inside-minded. Hmm. Or you could say it this way, very aware of God's grace.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about the message that in a manner has been preached, but people have not done something with it. And we're putting emphasis on helping people to get past the world that's held them back and step beyond themselves to experience God's grace. You know, when I'm sharing things in meetings and helping people to see that to experience God literally means you'll come to the end of yourself. Because to experience something that you don't see and that initially you don't feel means you have to put the ultimate trust that he's there.
Well, what does it mean to be reborn, to be baptized, to be saved? It's the end of something.
Of what you were.
And the beginning of something
That's
else.
That's exactly right.
What about exactly that right. doesn't say on, off, like a light switch, midnight, high noon,
yes,
dirt, water,
yeah,
you know, ice, something dry, I mean, you know, hot, cold. It's very drastic. It's very dramatic. And it's very succinct.
Yes. And if people are out there and you just heard what BJ said, and if that's not how you see your relationship with God, I literally want to share this with you, and it's accurate. Then you've been brought through religion that has helped you to feel like you can just stay the way you are, but now you've got Christ in your life. When Christ is in your life, everything about your life is different, and it's changed. And if you don't see it that way, then you're going to try to bring Christ down, drag him into a world that's not acceptable for Christ. Because once Jesus comes into your life, everything changes, even about your perceptions.
We just received an email, and it was from someone who was at healing school today.
Good, good.
And you had a conversation with them. They don't want their name mentioned. It says, no name, please, so I won't do that. And it says, I did what Jim told me today. I went and bought a pair of tennis shoes and went for a walk around a large pond.
Awesome.
And then...
I know who you are. Good for you.
In exclamation points, it says, I made it. You know why this person made it? because the sheer conviction and determination to go buy a pair of tennis shoes, then to take off whatever shoes were comfortable and limiting because of whatever was wrong with this person, to put a shoe on for movement, and then to literally walk around a pond is conviction.
Yes.
Folks, that's what we're talking about. See, that's what I'm saying when I says make a demand on grace.
Right.
Don't try to justify why God is good, God is great. Don't try to justify why you're a sinner. Demand to prove that God doesn't exist.
Okay, and I want to bring...
Demand that grace doesn't work, because everything about this... I did what Jim said. I bought shoes. I put the shoes on. I went for a walk around a large pond, and I made it. What about that statement as asking for anything?
Right.
That is literally demanding that it works.
Right. And the two different ways to look at this, and I'm glad you're
way
listening.
To go for this person.
That's right. The two different ways to look at this is to say, well, I made it, and now I'm going to, because I did that, I'm going to wait and see what God's going to do for me. Well, that would be to discredit the grace that you just experienced. Yeah. The second way to look at it is, I've got a new life. I'm going to be walking every single day, multiple times around a pond, getting in amazing shape, and giving God glory because I have a brand new life.
And at the same time, this person is going to say, they're going to say, well, do you want to have coffee and a donut? No, I'm sorry, I can't have a coffee and a donut with you. Why? I'm going for a walk.
Would you want to walk with me?
Yes.
There
and
you
if
go.
They don't walk, all of a sudden she says, you know what? I am losing weight. I have more energy.
Yes,
I'm not
course.
As tired. Why? Because instead of sitting in a chair having coffee and a donut, they're walking.
Right.
What about that? Doesn't say God is going to take care of everything if you allow it to be.
Yeah.
You know, this woman could have literally went and bought tennis shoes and then just put them in a closet, let them collect dust.
Mm-hmm.
Because if she would have done that, it would have been like, well, I tried driving without my glasses, but I almost got in an accident.
Right.
I almost went for a walk. I looked at tennis shoes. I tried tennis shoes on. I stood and walked around the store, but I didn't buy them. See, folks, this is what I'm talking about. Where is your energy? Where is your effort going? Because look what grace did for this person. I like that. Yeah, I like emails. Good. You know, and there's scripture that talks about this.
Shelly, go ahead and comment.
Please.
Find that verse.
Find it.
Find that verse.
See, I get to say that to someone else. It feels pretty good to say like
it does feel good, doesn't it?
Yeah. Go ahead and back that up, Shelly.
There we go. You know, I was just, while he was reading that and how you all opened up the show, and just sitting here allowing my mind to be opened up in how I hear about, I keep hearing that scripture that if you are a spirit, then walk in the spirit. And, you know, you were you said the earlier, you asked Jim, you said, you know, you had a scripture to back that up, just go walk in it, live in it, or whatever it was he said. And I hear people out there that are hearing what everybody is saying here tonight and thinking, well, but I'm just not sure I can do that, or I'm not sure how that works, or I understand my spirit, but you don't understand how this really feels. You don't understand, that really hurts. I can't walk. I can't do those things. And it's, you know, I want to say to you, well, you're not really hearing what we're saying if that's your answer to what we're saying. And the one thing that I'm hearing say tonight, and seeing how everything is being said, one time you said, you know, if you really want to understand what you have, all of these things, the revelation that Paul has given us about our relationship with Christ and what we have in Christ, well, you can certainly read what Paul has written, or you can go back to the garden and see what we were restored to.
Right.
And when you look in the garden, that was so... eye-opening, if you will, mind-opening to me, because I'd studied the epistles. I'd read the Pauline revelation, and I understood it, but it was just an understanding, and it was not a revelation knowledge that I was walking in. And the moment you said that, it's been quite maybe a couple of years ago, I went back and read what we had in the garden, and realizing that really what had happened in the garden once it was messed up was we just really got out of the divine order, spirit,
yes,
soul, and body.
We got out of sync.
You are a spirit. What they're saying, folks, is absolutely the truth. And what is supposed to happen is that is the divine order, spirit, soul, and body, and your body and your emotions. Because I hear people out there with the same mentality that I have. I understand what you're saying. Yes, I'm a spirit. But you don't understand. My body really has this challenge. Well, your body is subject to your spirit. That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
And there's a divine order. And in the garden, when sin came, that divine order was flipped, and we've all lived out of our body and out of our emotions, and not out of our spirit, as that's what you're talking about, to try to help people understand tonight.
What's real interesting about Adam and Eve is they never repented. They never acknowledged, they never said we're sorry, they never even asked for forgiveness. They just perpetuated their route, clothes, food, work, personal ambition, even jealousy and competition with each other. They literally were like thrown out of Eden like a drunk out of a nightclub, eventually, because they never really got the point of forgiveness. We just got an email about 2 minutes ago from Tennessee, and it says, This is the too good to be true news, but it is. I will use it. And this is from Tennessee, and this is from a lady named Barb.
Okay.
I think that's a nice little email that we
did.
I like these emails. I like the emails that we're getting right now on theabidingpresence.com. And, you know, Jim, I want to ask you a question. You know, because when you're going from place to place on your travels and you're spreading this word, as true and as accurate as you possibly can be, the hardest thing must be when whoever does have that congregation in their hands, it's their pulpit that you're sharing, and they have you in town for a day or two or three, no matter how many hours, it's just a fraction of those people's lives. You can see that they brought you in as almost a treat or an appeasement, but yet once you leave, it's back to status quo, isn't it?
Well, I'll say this, probably, it's kind of a hard issue, because that's one of the reasons. That's an area that I struggle with, yes. Probably the most of the people that I go to when I'm gone, anything that was established there, it's more, this was Jim's message, this was his anointing, this is his gifting. And the thing that I don't see as much, but I do see, for instance, even the pastor I just was at in Alabama, that's a good example there. He had me in because the Lord spoke to him and told me. I mean, he wasn't thinking of anybody. He said, bam, Jim Hockaday, have him in. Well, we fit like, you know, two peas in a pod.
Right.
So everything that I gave that was helpful, he'll pick it up and run with it.
Tony.
But you don't always get that, though.
No.
And most of the time, and I'll just be as honest as I can, and I'm not trying to say, there's no names involved, so I'm not trying to wail on anybody or give anybody a hard time. But most of the time, you know, for the individuals, when you go to their churches, if a pastor doesn't pick it up, it's not because we didn't have a good meeting. It's because the way he sees things is based on, that's my gifting, so that's why I would speak like that, and that's why I would see those results. Instead of, I'm listening to him, I'm hearing what he's saying, and we can all have those results. So let's go down this road and let's have them. I mean, I remember, and I think I've said this, I don't know if I've said it on this program, but I remember one time quite a few years ago, a pastor got up after I spoke, and he literally said in front of his people, he said, this message is the message for our church. how many people would be okay if we had Jim back two or three more times this year to continue to just speak this to us so that we can get it?
Right.
And the people, you know, were just excited. They all raised their hand and they were shouting and everything. Okay. I didn't hear from this person for 7 years.
Yeah.
And it was going to be two or three more times that year. So see, you start to, you kind of learn.
Well, you rock through the boat.
Yeah.
You put into question. See, and this is what, and they don't understand because they're so based on numbers and on paying bills because it's a business, that the congregation doesn't see it, even though they wish you would come back. They don't say anything, but the person who makes those choices, whether you come back or not, what they see is they see that this challenges, literally, mm-hmm. cold water in their face, not just the message that they're preaching every Sunday, but it goes directly to their belief system and how ineffective it is.
Yeah,
they can't, I mean, and this bears fruit with somebody that said, boy, I don't know, Jim, that's awful harsh. Also, it's very absolute. We might lose a few.
Yeah. Well, of course, I've heard that before. And I'll say this. I don't disagree with what you just said, that there definitely is a part of that. But I'll also make this comment, and that is so many of us. I mean, people, if you've been listening to this show, You've seen me humble myself even on the show to tell you and share with you some of the things that I've actually had to lay down, some of the things that I've had to do assessment and my own evaluation of my own heart. And yet, I can't pat myself on the back, because when you're in a healing ministry, if you don't get them all healed, you'll always go home feeling like, Lord, we didn't do good enough. But I've seen thousands of people be healed over the last 15, 16 years, thousands, literally.
Right.
And I've plowed courses that a lot of my friends felt like I was getting too far out.
Yeah.
And yet, in the last year, I've had to totally be turned inside out and upside down.
Right.
But the willingness of my heart to be turned inside out and upside down is because I need to advance.
But you prayed for this.
And I did. I need to advance. And that's the part that I don't see in most people, is the willingness to change in order to advance. I don't see that.
No, because if it works, don't fix it.
Well, you're right. If the situation they're in is comfortable, bills are being paid, things are working, and as long as we don't have too many hang-ups, then it must be good. But in my way of seeing things, nothing's ever good. That's part of me being tweaked the way that I am. I have to continue to make it better. And the only way to make it better is to literally let Christ turn you inside out until you really see your hang-ups.
Yeah,
right.
You've made a comment before. You said you can't be right unless you're willing to be wrong.
Yeah,
that may have not have been the way that you said it, but
no, that's correct.
The way that I understand it. And it's so true here, and I think that's the challenge that I see, and even I've been guilty of it myself. You sometimes in this organized religion, you begin to do things a certain way, and you don't get the results that if you said it the way that the absoluteness that we understand it now, then you either have to look in the mirror and say, I'm doing something right, not exactly correct, or you reason out why it happened that way, and that's because of pride and a million other things. And I think we've all sat there at one point or another in our lives.
Sure, I think a difficulty that has faced Jim's show is a difficulty that you're going to have on Love's Final Word on your own show, Shelley, and that is that there are going to be teenagers who are going home, having conversations with Christ, healing themselves, healing their friends, and having wonderful relationships, and the adults in that house are going to be left in the dust.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there is going to be conversations, and there is going to be discussions, and there are going to be, for lack of a better word, rules handed down saying, what are you doing and what are you getting into?
Mm-hmm.
Because, and this is where I'm going with this, as an adult, being in an adult relationship, whether you're the husband, the wife, or the boyfriend, or the girlfriend, or aunt and uncle, whatever, but there is a competitiveness religiously to keep everybody neck and neck. Everybody's going at the same speed, like cars. You know, everybody goes 35 miles an hour. Well, if somebody figures out they can go 60 miles an hour,
right,
that's looked upon with disdain, and you're not supposed to do that.
Be careful. Watch out for that.
What are you doing?
You better be careful now.
See, and that's what you're facing with your peers.
Yeah, I mean, people are afraid that I...
Yes, they almost want you to go back to Rhema and be deprogrammed or something.
Well, the interesting thing is people will say things all the time when they meet you. And this isn't to make, you know, we got to get that picture up so people can see us here at the radio.
Yeah,
in the barn. But people will say, well, I mean, why would you talk with BJ so much?
Yeah.
I mean, he's just got saved. I mean,
yeah,
maybe he's having a good relationship with the Lord, but I mean, he doesn't know everything. And first of all, when have you ever said you did know everything? Hello?
I mean, don't.
We're not that ridiculous. We don't. In fact, one of the things that really helped me in this was, remember way back when, a whole year ago, remember, and this is going to be interesting that I'll share this, but this will help you to see some of the progression that BJ and I have made. But way back a year ago, remember when you sent me some of your writings for the show?
Yeah.
And you remember what I did to them? I tweaked them the way that I would say it.
Right.
And you remember our discussion?
Yeah.
It was like, if you're going to tweak it the way you say it, then it'd be better for you to just write them.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Because it's really you and it's not me.
Yeah.
And this is what you said. You said, wouldn't it be better for people to see, and we'll date these writings, wouldn't it be better for people to see something I wrote when I was just saved and then something that I'm able to write when I'm a year saved,
right,
and then 2 years saved and 5 years saved? They'll see my progression. They'll see my growth.
Right.
And that's what got me. And I said, you know what? I don't care if you write an article that says I'm the man on the moon.
Yeah.
Because leave him alone.
Well,
let it be your relationship.
That's our theories section.
Yes.
That's our letters for consideration.
Yeah.
We've both written them. It gives a points of view. And it's just like tonight's broadcast. We've got a lot of people listening right now. We've had a lot of emails right now. Why? Because we have a third person.
Yeah.
We have another person that shows that this is not some type of special exclusive club in my barn.
Right.
Where there's an offspring. There's a whole new entity for people under the age of 30. Love's Final Word. It's coming in September on a Thursday night. It shows the individualism. It shows the opportunity that this truly
for
is.
For everybody to get in
for
on
everyone.
It.
Because that shows the individual. It doesn't matter where you live, what you look like, what you wear, what you eat, what your age is, or anything.
No.
That is a moot point. Why? Because everything I just mentioned is of the world.
Yep.
And there's nothing good of the world.
I have a great scripture to add right now.
Yeah.
You know I like to give them. Over here in Galatians 6:8 in the Johnson translation. Galatians 6:8. This is good. I'll read the King James. It says, "For he that sows to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life." Well, Johnson says this. For example, if you cultivate the non-productive patterns in your life, you will experience... I'm going to read that again because that's really good.
Right.
If you cultivate the non-productive patterns in your life, you will experience emptiness, meaninglessness, and eventually spiritual decay. But if you continue to live in union with the Spirit, not only will you experience real life here and now, you will have life forever.
I like that.
That's really, really good.
Yeah.
It goes not only for each individual's relationship, but it even goes to what we're talking about with the structure that seems to make people want to, give into meaninglessness.
We just received an email about a minute ago, which is real interesting. It says, "Could you give me more spiritual examples of the beginning, middle, and end? Question mark. Last week you gave physical examples. I'm tired. I need sleep. Get sleep. Go to bed.
Yeah.
Says, example, my daughter has Down syndrome. She needs a touch from God.
Okay.
Now, my reading of this says, could you give more spiritual examples of the beginning, middle, and end? Example, my daughter has Downs. She needs a touch from God. I don't like the word needs, because as I'm reading this, I don't know this person. I don't know where they are. Don't know anything about this. But I'm just reading what they wrote, because what they wrote is coming from their heart and their mind.
Right.
Because they're talking about their daughter, and this is either the mother or the father, obviously my daughter. It says, my daughter has Downs. They've literally just acknowledged that there's an issue.
Right.
Then in the same sentence, comma, she needs a touch from God. Once again, twice in one sentence, they've noted an issue. They've made note of what's wrong. It goes to what we've been talking about.
Right.
How they're literally mentally painting themselves
into a corner.
Into a corner.
Yeah.
I have a special needs daughter. Park in the handicap section. No, my daughter can't participate in this. She has Downs. No, we can't go here because of this. We have this responsibility. I'll bet you a shiny new dime, Jim and Shelley, that there are a lot of these little things I just mentioned that are perpetuating this issue.
Well, I just was with...
because that is energy.
Yes. I was just in Alabama, and one of the really fine gentlemen there and his wife own a restaurant. In fact, Pastor Tony and his wife, they do such an amazing job with hospitality. Anybody that has a church ought to be seeing what they do. Anyhow, this gentleman was a part of that, and they just told him, you do such an amazing job. Why don't you just do a restaurant? And he did, and it's doing really well. Well, I no sooner sat down in the restaurant, and his son, that as far as the body is concerned, medically would be said he had Down syndrome. He comes over and immediately lays hands on me and prays for me. It was awesome. I mean, he's probably
about... What an example of grace.
Right. He's probably about 9 years old. So his father was asking me the same similar thing. And this is what I told him.
Yeah.
I said, you know, the interesting thing that I would do if I were you, I would take a lot of time to be so thankful that you have the most amazing son. And you have had amazing times with him. He crawls up in your lap and says, Dad, it's just you and me. We're buddies, aren't we?
Yeah.
And I mean, what father wouldn't enjoy that?
Well,
I said, why not spend all of your time being so thankful that you have a great relationship, that he's able to see the world in such a simple way, and that Christ has already done a work for him, and then let grace...
Right.
Go to work. Why wouldn't Grace go to work?
It was like one time we were talking here at the ranch, remember, and we were talking about a handicapped child of some sorts. Don't remember what the problem was. And I said, you know, all that time they spend with their kid, because if their kid was quote unquote a normal, healthy kid, their kid would be glued to a computer screen, sports, friends, maybe having some type of sexual intimacy with another classmate, maybe experimenting with drugs, going to parties. Who knows what would happen to their kid? But yet they don't see the positiveness of time spent and quality of relationship.
Right.
They don't acknowledge that. All they see is trouble.
Right.
Well, what about that sounds Christian-like? What about that is allowing grace to come through the door if all you're doing is saying, well, you know, it's a really nice sunny day and the neighbor kids are playing soccer and I know that you're in a wheelchair and you can't play soccer, so we'll read a book or something. Well, what are they doing? They're acknowledging the tangibility of a handicap.
Yes.
Instead of thanking Christ for the quality time spent with a child.
Right, right.
Because then once the door is open to grace, well, what's grace going to do? Clean house.
Yeah, yeah.
Everything's going to be taken care of.
Yep.
And I want to say one last thing about this email from these people, wherever they are, about their daughter. That was amazingly courageous to send that email, knowing that I was going to read that on the radio. And I want to say that if they have that amount of bravery, if they have that amount of strength,
then they can get this.
They can get this.
Yes.
That was going to be my point.
Yep.
I wanted to acknowledge that before. And I really like the emails we're getting tonight. I love emails.
While we're waiting for another one to come, let me go ahead and help this here with 2 Corinthians in chapter 5. Paul's saying some really awesome things. In fact, in the third chapter, in the sixth chapter, he's going to get ready to say, don't you know that your body is the temple of the living God? And he's trying to help us to really become focused on who we are as a spirit. And so Paul makes these statements here in chapter 5 and says things like, he says, man, I'm groaning on the inside of me because my earthly house, in other words, the body, he said, I need the glory or God's presence to be on my body. And Paul says this, if indeed having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. So he's not talking about taking off his physical clothes. He's talking about taking off the world so that he can be saturated in Christ. And he goes on to say, for we who are in this tent, in other words, body, we groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. And then I'm going to skip to verse 16. And I could back up all of this by continuing to read. But I'm going to come to verse 16 where he says, therefore, from now on, we regard no one or no man according to the flesh. Paul is saying, we're done with the old life where the flesh ruled us, like Shelley was talking about. You know, everything got flipped from the way it was supposed to be. He says, we're done with the old life where the flesh was important. We regard no one according to the flesh. And this is what he says. He says, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. In other words, yeah, we walked around with him. People walked around with him and knew him after the flesh, but he's gone now, and it's about your spiritual connection.
Yeah.
And this is what he says afterwards. Therefore, in other words, because of all this, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are gone, have passed away. Behold, all things are brand new. This is a brand new life.
And what he's saying there is that he's talking about what you believe to be real has been changed.
That's exactly right.
You're not a human being anymore dealing with dramas and issues in the world. You are a spirit being connected with the Christ.
Yes.
So think that way, act that way, and you will be that way.
Right, right, right. That's the way that it is. It's really, really good. It gets me
really
excited because these are the kind of things that people, if you'll begin to meditate, think on it, and then don't, please, like Shelley was making comment about, we've learned how to hear so incorrectly over the years. We've been docile. We've been lulled to sleep, sitting in padded pews that have made us feel so comfortable. Our minds just go other places, and we say amen, and if people stand up, we stand up. If people run around the room, we'll run around the room, and the very next thing that happens is we leave that building to go out into the world, forget everything we just heard, and the moment we come into a place where there's a contradiction and we have to toe the line and step beyond this world, we fold like a one-egg pie.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Now, I learned that in Oklahoma, one-egg pie. You know, we fold like we don't have enough ingredients, and you look inside the oven and the whole thing's flat. But this is exactly why, because we've not made the distinction. And listen, if you go back to some of the people, like a Reverend Kenneth E. Hagin that had so much influence in my life, and you look at his life is nothing but about him learning who he was on the inside. He said this many times. He said, my whole life was turned around when I found out who I was in Christ. That I realized it wasn't about the flesh, it was about I was a spirit in Christ. Everything changed. That's exactly what we're saying here tonight.
It is, and I'm hoping that we're gaining, well, not that we're not gaining ground, but I'm hoping that people are getting some clarification. They're starting to see the things that they manifest, that they create in their own life, that literally keeps grace from affecting them, from them enjoying grace.
Yeah.
Because it does come back to, we always come back to square one, and square one is ourselves.
Yes.
I mean, it's that's a very difficult thing for some people to do, because they've got so many years, so much of a lifestyle, so much of a mentality that has been reinforced by family, friends, culture, the country they live in, civilization, the religious organization that they belong to. There's a lot of pulling away. You literally have to be on off like a light switch.
Now, for
I'm
those
participating and
right.
I'm not.
For those that are listening, possibly for the first time or the first few times, let me just tell you, from hearing many testimonies from people that have been listening now for, and I don't know how many shows that we've actually done, but have been listening over the last year.
Three.
Multiple. No.
No.
I'm talking about in the last year. We've done multiple shows. How many? 30?
Three.
No.
We've done more than three shows?
Yes, we have. We've done a lot of them. Okay, anyhow, my point is, very simply, I've heard testimony from people that have listened over and over and over again, and this is what they say: I'm beginning to get it. And then others will say, I've been ruined in a good way. I can't just listen to the normal message anymore, because I realize it doesn't have the same substance. It doesn't help me to make decisions I'm making. And everyone that's listened to it for a long enough period of time, they're getting used to hearing the way that we're talking enough where they're beginning to see it work in their lives. And we're getting testimony from people, BJ, that are saying, you know, this is what happened with my children. This is the good thing that just took place. We went home and this happened, just like Shelley, like you were talking about. And we decided, no, that's not what we're accepting. Why would we? Why wouldn't grace just, and boom, instantaneously things are happening.
A couple weeks ago, when I don't remember when it was, but it was a couple weeks ago, you and I were sitting in this room talking, which we do a lot. And I said, you know, the greatest testimony of this show, the greatest compliment that your show, Jim, the Abiding Presence, can have, is it sounds really nice when someone says they listen to the show every day, all day, or multiple times. That is a great compliment, and we're very grateful for that. Thank you very much. But the greatest compliment is going to be when someone emails the Abiding Presence and says, I got it, it works, thank you, goodbye, I'm gone.
Yep.
That is true. And it goes right to somewhere in the book where it says, if you give somebody a meal or a fish or something, that's not going to really help them. But if you teach them how to cook or catch a fish or something, what is that one? I don't know. I know it's in the book somewhere. What is that one?
I'm going to let Shelley answer that one. But
well, I know it's in there because you guys are just cracking up.
Yeah.
One of these days, I'm going to get one of those books. I know I will. I just
send him with the chocolate, Fred. Send him a book with the chocolate.
Yeah. No. You know, Tony. It'd be nice to get something from Tony.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Pastor Tony.
Yeah.
Pastor Tony, you would like, in fact, Pastor Tony told me before I left, he said, I'd love to come for a couple days in your healing school, and if you could arrange it, I got to meet BJ.
By the by, Tony, just in case you're not aware of this, but it is amazing the shipping ability and how easy it is to mail Paydays and Kit Kat candy bars. Just a tip.
Well, he's got my return UPS sticker, so it would be very easy for him to
find in the book where it talks about, you know, cooking broiling fish or, you know, catching fish or what. I know it's in there somewhere. It talks about how it's better to get somebody to take care of themselves than it is for them to rely on somebody else. That's the point.
Isn't that like a proverb, like not a book of proverbs, but teach a man to or give a man a fish, feed him for a day, teach a man to fish and feed
that's
him for
it.
A lifetime.
Yeah,
that's not. I'm not sure that that's actually a.
It's not in the book,
but it comes from the principles of the Bible.
It's in my book. Everybody says, you know,
that was on the fortune cookie you had.
Yeah. Do you know how many emails we've received over the year doing the show that says that there should be a BJ Bible?
Yeah,
you know that BJ should write
the
his
BJ
own Bible.
Translation.
Yeah, the BJ translation.
That was one of the many fortune cookies that are all over this room. No,
they
I'm
are,
just kidding.
Yeah. Well, we didn't have wallpaper, but you know, thank goodness for you know for Choose Takeout.
Yeah.
No, the point being, folks, is that you can do this. Look, it's nice that you listen to this show because that's the point of the show is to help you. I mean, we're not selling things. We're not asking for anything other than your open heart and your open mind. That's the point. The point is that this is an individual choice. No one can force you to do anything. There comes a time when you make a basic choice to either participate or not participate, to try or to not try, to give up or to find some other venue, some other way that perhaps is different. That's grace. That is God's love, that when you're sitting somewhere on a Sunday morning or you're sitting at home, And you're reading scripture and you're thinking, yeah, I love this and it makes sense, but I just don't seem to be able to put it into day-to-day practice. That is it. You have it. You don't have to pray more. You don't have to be a better person. You don't have to do anything except take a deep breath and let grace come into your life. Let go of your spirit. Release yourself from the dramas and the junk of day-to-day life.
Yep.
Because that's where people miss it. They think that there's got to be a gimmick or a trick, or they've got to send $10 to somebody on television for a prayer team, or they've got to call a prayer team. No. The only thing you have to do is come to a point in your life where you say, enough is enough. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to deserve it.
Right.
It's a gift.
It is. And you know, the words you just got through speaking, they're perfect words, as though we were praying for people or getting ready to end the show. They're perfect words. Well, while you play the music, I'm going to do one more thing. I'm going to reiterate a verse of scripture that we read, because what BJ said was perfect. Galatians 6:8 in the Johnson translation says, for example, if you cultivate the non-productive patterns in your life, you will experience emptiness, meaninglessness, and eventually spiritual decay. But if you continue to live in union with the Spirit, not only will you experience real life here and now, you will have life forever. So we thank God for you tonight that you've come to listen. You've spent time with us. If you need to, certainly listen to this show over and over again. But know within your own heart, like BJ said, you've got it. Christ is in your heart. Trust in that. Look for grace everywhere, because you'll find it everywhere. And you'll begin to experience things you haven't experienced before, and you'll be so happy you did. This is the life that God wants for you, and you can cultivate this life instead of the old patterns that brought you nowhere. BJ, I think this has been a really good evening.
I do too. Shelley, how'd you feel being here for the whole show? Trapped in the barn with Jim and myself.
It was awesome.
I thought she did great.
Well, she's going to have a great show when she gets
out there. Yeah, you know, it was good for you to be here just for the sheer practice and talking and expressing your views. Shelley Love, everyone. It's going to be Love's Final Word. It'll be on Thursday nights starting probably the latter part of September.
Yeah.
Somewhere in there. There'll be a website. We'll talk about it. We'll have her on the show again. Thank you for the emails. I thought that they were just a wonderful part of tonight's broadcast. And, you know, folks, There's so much time in your life spent that is truly wasted. You know, it's true you can't take it with you, but more to the point, do you really need it now? And for Jim Huckaday and Shelley Love, this has been the Abiding Presence. I want you to take care of yourselves, take care of your pets. See, we really do have a dog in the studio right now. This has been the Abiding Presence. And have a good night, and we'll talk to you sooner than later next Tuesday night. Good night.